Hey, everybody. It's another Charlie Kirk Show. 11 years ago, Turning Point USA was born. Tell you a little bit of the story and also share a pretty personal story about the Turning Point USA logo creation. And then we also talk about the $1 billion barricade being built. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That's Charlie Kirk Show. When you open up your podcast app, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So much news to get to, but we want to celebrate a very important milestone, one that most people thought would never happen. 11 years ago, I was 18 years old. I was involved in some local efforts in the suburbs of Chicago, and I saw the generation that I was raised in, millennials, the Obama generation, it was supposed to be the most liberal generation in history, embracing ideas of Marxism, what would soon eventually materialize in critical race theory, what we now call wokeism. And I was very concerned. I was concerned for our republic. I was concerned for our fiscal solvency. I was concerned for all of it. And I was not convinced that the typical Washington, D.C. groups were doing what was needed to be done to reach young people. So on June 5th of 2012, Turning Point USA was born. The name actually came from my father, who's, I said, you know, I want to start this group. And he came up with like 10 names. I said, that's it, Turning Point. And Turning Point USA was birthed into existence. Bill Montgomery, may he rest in peace, was a relentless cheerleader for our efforts. Foster Freeze, may he also rest in peace, which actually 2 years ago was his funeral, wrote us our first check. And we were off to the races, traveling the country, trying to convince people that this Obama generation, millennials, did not have to be the most liberal generation in American history. We were scoffed at, laughed at, told that the work was already being done by traditional D.C. groups. Just tell them to go join a drinking club, is what we were told. We were told by several kind of snobbish, entitled people in the center-right world, and the conservative world, that this is impossible. There's no way you can rally young people around these ideas. It's a waste of time. But not everybody had that attitude. There were donors that stepped up and saw the vision, or at least they said, hey, this kid is crazy enough to try to do this. Maybe I'll write him a check. Over the course of 2013, 14, 15, crisscrossing the country, spending 330 days on the road routinely, visiting every single state you could imagine, speaking at Tea Party meetings and Republican meetings and just trying to raise and grow support. Tyler Boyer, who was just on Steve Bannon's program, joined our team in January of 2015, he's been with us for 8 years now, brought a wrinkle of expertise and an accelerant to our growth to operationalize our chapter program and to grow West and to help us with student leadership. And we were starting to attract talent, but boy, the attacks were relentless. And the attacks, not just from the left, that came later. The attacks from the people in Washington, D.C. that were allegedly in the conservative world that were a little bit uneasy that there was this disruptor, that there was this entrepreneurial approach to an otherwise very boring nonprofit arena with really high standards that was willing to shoot from the hip and try new things and to take risks and to be bold and to say, you know what? This generation does not have to be the most liberal generation in history. And we went to work and we went to work and we kept on traveling and we kept on trying to grow support. And the Lord blessed us beyond our wildest imagination. But it did not just happen. We were faithful with our work. And I will say this. I do not say this braggadociously, but it's factual. Nobody worked harder than Turning Point USA over the last 11 years towards a desired outcome or objective. Nobody. 2.5 million air miles that I have now with United Airlines and American and Delta. I always joke around with friends. I'm like, if you guys need miles, just let me know. I've earned plenty of those. Over 3,000 days on the road. And praise God, we are now a sizable ecosystem. Turning Point Action, Turning Point USA. We have Turning Point Academy, TPUSA Faith, high school chapters, college chapters. It is this full force machine. And the left-wing activist press, they now all of a sudden realize that because we've worked our tail off, because we've rejected the Washington, D.C. way of doing things, just sit on your hands, complain about it, raise more money, lie to you guys about what's going on. No. We are clipboard and tennis shoes. We got into this. I got into this. Foster Free supported us. Bill Montgomery supported us. Tyler Boyer got into this. Our entire team, and Lauren and Amy, and I could go through the whole list. Andrew, they got into this because we felt like our republic was falling apart. We're headquartered in Arizona, not D.C., and we keep on building, and we keep on building. Well over 1,500 to 1,600 chartered chapters across the country. I'll get the exact number. Thousands and thousands of students attending our events. You see AmFest, our campus tours. Voices that make a massive difference in our country have come through the ranks of Turning Point USA. Ana Paulina Luna, Turning Point graduate. Candace Owens started as our communications director. What a powerhouse she is. Brandon Tatum, Will Witt, Isabel Brown. I could go, and I celebrate with the amount of people. Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec. You look at the roster of voices and courage and wow, praise the Lord. And so somebody says, Charlie, what is your big lesson? What is your big takeaway? A couple things. Number one is that there is so much to be hopeful for the future of America after doing this for 11 years. Number two is you have to work. You can't just stay on the sidelines. You just can't be a spectator. You have to do what you are called to do. And for us at Turning Point USA and our team, we were called to drop everything, put our lives basically aside and say, for 11 years, we are going to give everything we possibly can. And look at the beautiful thing we have built. We have over 250,000 grassroots donors, over 500,000 volunteers, and millions of fans on digital and social media. Now you might say, Charlie, that's all fine, but what can you show me that actually shows you made a difference? Most DC groups are never challenged like that because they cower away and they do insider deals with lobbyists and they don't work hard. They have happy hour at 4 p.m. At 4 p.m., we're just getting our work started at Turning Point USA. But the New York Times shows the work of the Turning Point model, the education model of Turning Point USA, the Turning Point Action social advocacy model. New York Times. Millennials are not an exception. They've moved to the right. 11 years later, on the 11th birthday of Turning Point USA, 11 years today, 11 years ago, I called Bill Montgomery. I said, let's do it. I put college on hold. I took a gap year. It's been 11 gap years. I wrote a whole book about not going to college. But more importantly, have we been able to say, hey, was the 11 years well spent? And I could say with an immense amount of gratitude, that not only did we make a difference, the New York Times is freaking out that millennials, the Obama generation, you could call it Project Millennials, is far less liberal. In fact, it's almost 50-50 conservative and liberal worldview. And by the way, at Turning Point USA, our focus is always on education. It's on values. It's on ideas. Turning Point Action focuses more on the political side of things. The worldview of the generation that was supposed to bring forth the Cultural Revolution is about 50-50. People said, it's a waste of time. What are you doing? Why are you raising all that money? What do you even do with that money? I could tell you what we do with all the resources the Lord has blessed us with. We have turned, not just us, but so many other people deserve credit. Matt Walsh deserves credit. Ben Shapiro deserves credit. There's some great people. Daily Wire deserves a ton of credit. But we've definitely played a role. Turning Point has played a big role in turning the Obama generation that was supposed to be the most liberal generation in history to be about 50-50. 11 years of hard work, I am overwhelmed with gratitude and motivation to keep on fighting on this now 11th birthday of the largest conservative organization in the country, Turning Point USA. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Okay, everybody. Yeah, that New York Times article is really important. Millennials are not an exception. They move to the right. I mean, some of you remember the picture I sent last week, which is the millennial generation at University of Wisconsin-Madison. You saw this. I mean, there was like 80,000 people, not that many, but 30, 40, 50,000 people that would show up when Barack Obama would attend. That generation was supposed to bring forth Mao's cultural revolution. And then we went to work, went to work, we went to work, we went to work. And we have results to show for it. Okay, I want to play a piece of tape here. I want to talk about this barricade that's being built. We'll talk more about the Turning Point USA birthday later. And I'm going to tell you a story that has never been made public about the logo of Turning Point USA and remembering the whole story behind that. It's very important. So last night, Nikki Haley had a town hall on CNN. Now, many of you are emailing me, Charlie, why are all these people running for the presidency? Now, I'm not totally clear on what Nikki Haley is running for. I don't know if Nikki Haley is running for the presidency or she wants to be the chairman of the board of Raytheon. It's not totally clear. But Nikki Haley, totally tone deaf on where the base is on the Ukrainian war. Play cut 15.
President Trump has refused to say whether he believes Russia should win the war. Ron DeSantis referred to Russia's invasion of Ukraine as a, quote, territorial dispute. What do you think of that?
I think that that's a mistake that too many have made. That's exactly what got the Europeans in this position with Russia in the first place. And for them to sit there and say that this is a territorial dispute, that's just not the case. To say that we should stay neutral, it is in the best interest of America. It's in the best interest of our national security for Ukraine to win.
Is it in the best interest of our national security while we're being invaded every single day? It was illuminating to watch Nikki Haley in this town hall because she is representing a Republican Party that is totally out of lockstep with you, the voters. But there's Nikki Haley. You have Asa Hutchinson. You got Chris Christie, who's going to run. Mike Pence this last weekend spoke at some sort of a Iowa event riding his Harley Davidson. You got Doug Burgum, who's going to announce. What exactly is going on here? Well, it's easy to believe that they kind of sense that Ron DeSantis did not have as strong of a launch. Ron DeSantis announced that he had 40,000 donors since his launch in May, 40,000. Now, that might sound like a lot, but I actually would have expected somewhere between 200,000 and 250,000, giving all the lead up, all the preparation, all the national media. As someone who works very, very hard to try and expand a donor base, 40,000 is underwhelming. I'm just being totally factual. At Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action, we have about 260,000 donors. Now, it took a lot of work to get there, but we're also not running for the presidency, and we also are not governor of one of the largest states in the country. And so Ron DeSantis will increase that donor total, but to by comparison, Donald Trump has had well over 1.6 million people give him grassroots donations. So it could be that Nikki Haley and Tim Scott and Asa Hutchinson and all these people, they sense an opportunity. Or this is what I think is more likely, that is really most people are missing. That they're running with the understanding that they have to do whatever they can to build a barricade to prevent Donald Trump from easily winning the nomination. We are seeing the building right now of a dark money, outside money, super PAC driven blockade to try and damage and injure Donald Trump going into the general election. Throw as much money as possible at the leader. Have Haley, Scott, Christie, Pence. Yeah, they might insult each other here or there, but they're going to keep the main target as Donald Trump. Do not be surprised if the donors that are funding some of these campaigns begin to demand via the super PACs a harmonization that, yeah, they might have their own little flavor of Chris Christie, own little flavor of Tim Scott, own little flavor of whomever, but do not be surprised if there isn't a deliberate attempt soon in the next 5 or 6 months to throw all of that ad spending, to throw all of that money against Donald Trump. What you are seeing, and this is going to happen, is a minimum $1 billion barricade that Donald Trump is going to have to run through before he goes to the general election to run up against either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or John Fetterman or whoever the Mark Elias George Soros machine appoints to be the vessel for their operation. A $1 billion barricade. That's really what's going on here. That's why all these people are running. People ask me all the time when I travel about Strong Cell. Charlie, is Strong Cell legit? Charlie, do you really believe in the anti-aging properties of NADH? Well, it's not a matter of whether or not if I believe it. It's the science. You guys could check it out. Back check me. Look at NAD and see what it could do for you. Well, look, I take NAD every single day. Strong Cell is a scientific breakthrough in cellular health replenishment that combines NADH, CoQ10, and marine collagen to boost your body's cellular function. I personally take Strong Cell every day, and so do a ton of Kirk listeners. Go see the reviews for yourself. If you are someone who relies on caffeine or sugar to get yourself going, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I only have one important request, as I recommend this life-changing product. You've got to give it at least 4 weeks to realize the best results. It takes a little time to re-engineer your body's NADH. Think about it. It's been on decline in your middle-aged body for a year or so. So check it out. Go to strongcell.com/Charlie and read the personal testimonies for yourself. Then use promo code Charlie to get a special 20% discount on your order. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. 20% discount, strongcell.com, promo code Charlie. More of Nikki Haley. Is this where you are on the Ukraine issue? I just wish that people running for the presidency, people in elected office, were this fired up about our southern border being overrun. Play cut 16.
This is bigger than Ukraine. This is a war about freedom, and it's one we have to win. That's what we have to do. And keep in mind, everybody wants to know, well, how does this war end? It would end in a day if Russia would pull out. If Ukraine pulls out, then we're all looking at a world war.
Wait, hold on a second. So why aren't you talking about a peace plan, Nikki Haley? And Nikki Haley, why is this in the immediate essential interest of the United States? You understand the saber rattling and over-involvement in this border dispute between two bad actors. Russia never should have invaded, but Ukraine is not, they are not sinless in this equation. They're not. Is now threatening the dollar as the global world reserve currency? Do you know that the BRIC nations in St. Petersburg in the coming weeks are going to be talking about removing the dollar and putting in a gold standard because of our over-involvement in eastern Ukraine? What does success look like exactly? How much money is too money? These are very simple questions that you, the voters, care about. So what is she talking about here? Why is she doing this? Is there some sort of interest behind Nikki Haley that is pushing this? Is there some donor community that really wants a hot war in Ukraine or Russia? How about the community of people that are being overrun by fentanyl and drug addiction and human smuggling and illegals taking jobs and overflowing our communities of 10 to 15,000 a day? And of course, CNN does what the intel agencies want them to do. Ask the question of Nikki Haley on Ukraine. Ask the question on Ukraine. And of course, he frames it as, oh, you know, Donald Trump refuses to say, look, Putin's not a good guy. Zelensky's not a good guy. Why is this in America's national interest? We're nearly $30 trillion in debt. We do not have a border. We have runaway inflation. We send money abroad to secure the borders of other countries. We have 110,000 people a year that are dying of drug overdoses. Kids can't read in our inner cities. We have a corporate oligarchy that is quickly setting in. We have this trans tyranny that is running the entire country. And I have to be worried about Ukraine and Russia's borders? Meanwhile, that involvement, the cause set in motion that has caused, that has triggered, very well might result in the dollar being lost as the world reserve currency status. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Why is Zelensky treated as if he's a governor of the United States? We're paying for the whole government. Pure cash transfers. Unaccountable. Unaudited. Why is that in our interest? So Nikki Haley's running. Mike Pence is likely going to announce. I'm curious, anybody in the audience, will you guys vote for Mike Pence? Email me freedom@charliekirk.com. I've known Vice President Pence for a while. We obviously have some big disagreements, especially recently. I think he's a faithful Christian. I think he would do better, honestly, to go become a pastor in Indiana than to go run for the presidency. I think his reputation would remain better. I think he'd be excellent at it. He is a God-fearing, loyal husband and a faithful man. I do not think he's cut out for running for the presidency for such a time as this at all. Mike Pence was largely elevated by Trump, and running against him, I'm sorry, it's just going to ruin his reputation even further when I think that he could do a lot in the ministry. I mean that non-sarcastically. Politics is not the arena for Mike Pence. Play cut 20.
And I'm here in Iowa today, and I'll be back a little bit later next week. Because Iowa's the place that we shape principled conservative leadership. Iowa's the place that shaped the standard bearer of this party. And I don't have anything to announce today, but I can tell you, when I got time to announce, come this Wednesday, I'm announcing in Iowa.
So Mike Pence is going to run for the presidency. And his voice sounds a little bit different, but that's a separate issue. There's building right now. And this is the buried lead, because it looks as if, it seems as if Haley and Scott and Asa and Christie and Pence and Burgum are all on different pages. It seems as if that they're all just kind of running against each other. What if there's actually more harmonization to their efforts than meets the eye? What if the anti-Trump bloc is going to be dispersed into multiple super PACs with all a very similar mission? The eventual endorsement of an opposition candidate to Donald Trump and the nonstop blitzkrieg of money being spent against Trump in Iowa, in South Carolina. Now, this very well could all help Trump, but is it macro helpful to have Donald Trump overcome a $1 billion barricade? You know, we're talking at Turning Point Action, building a ballot chasing operation and voter registration operation on the front lines to help us make a deciding marginal impact in Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. But $1 billion to now be spent on this? You see, this blockade that is rising up is just trying to weaken and damage Trump. Now, you might say, well, this makes him stronger. Yes, but it's going to make him overly focused, Donald Trump, on the primary. You want to go through a $1 billion primary? This would be a dream for a Democrat operative. This is a fantasy for Mark Elias. And Trump's political instincts are largely personal. He's going to attack each one of these people, and he is a ferocious lion, and he's going to win. However, is it going to be the best possible trajectory and path for him? These people are not running for the presidency. They're almost running as disparate parts of the same strategy. Haley, Christie, Pence, Doug Burgum, who's going to go spend $50 million in Iowa? $50 million? $75 million? And then who's actually going to fill this massive void that is being felt by the RNC? We're about to go into one of the bloodiest, most expensive, brutal, and nasty primaries in political history. It's also simultaneously one of the most unnecessary primaries in history. It's unnecessary unless you didn't actually want Donald Trump to win. If you do not want Donald Trump to eventually win in the primary, this is the game plan. Just bag him. Run as many negative ads as you possibly can against him. And Republicans will do that for you. I guarantee you, because I've talked to some people over the weekend and I got enough information to say this with certainty, that these Republican donors that might say, okay, I like Tim Scott, I like this guy, I like that guy, even I like DeSantis, eventually they are going to coordinate their efforts from the outside via super PACs, which you can do, and focus 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, $800 million on defeating Donald Trump. This is largely a vanity project that is being driven by consultants that are going to make tens of millions of dollars off of this whole thing so that we can then have the exact same result. Now, I actually think it's helpful to talk about how far the Republican Party has moved for the better, and Nikki Haley's going about talking about like recolonizing Eastern Ukraine while our own country is collapsing. I think it's helpful to point that out and make fun of it and call it silly. At the same time, this is destructive. We are headed towards an apocalyptic scenario politically. While the early infrastructure investments are not being done, let me tell you right now, in Arizona, it is not being done. It's not being done by the RNC. We're doing our best at Turning Point Action. But all the attention, all the focus is on this horse race, this barricade, this $1 billion barricade that Donald Trump will pierce through, but it's going to take more effort, more energy, more fight than should be necessary, is again a humongous vanity project which brings just unconscionable profits to the consultant class, while our country is on fragile footing. That's really what's going on here, is that they're going to see which one ascends, but they're going to focus their money, their outside PAC money, which is just, you might as well burn it. You might as well just vaporize it. And what are the Democrats doing? They're registering voters in Arizona. They're suing with Lawfare in Georgia. They're hiring grassroots warriors in Wisconsin. We're going about to spend money on who gets to finish fifth in Iowa. Democrats are spending money on things that will materially and in a guaranteed fashion get them another 4 years in the White House in 2024. I want to hear from you. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. This is a dark money blockade, this $1 billion blockade that now Donald Trump's going to have to go against. Okay, I want to tell you the story of the Turning Point USA logo, but let me just finish the argument really quick. This is my evidence right here. James Comey, who of course still has friends in the FBI and is still really well respected amongst the cockroaches that run that agency, he's telling you right now, the fix is going to be in again. They're going to do more threatening tabletop exercises, Aspen Institute meetings. They're going to go to whatever, Twitter might not take the meeting, Elon, but there's a lot happening. There's like a deep state of Twitter too that Elon either knows about, doesn't want to address, is afraid of, or is unaware of. That is a mystery, and we could build that out because the whole Daily Wire situation shows that Elon's not exactly running Twitter. Somebody else is. This is James Comey telling you that the intelligence agencies are going to go after Trump in 2024. Play cut 11.
You were a Republican most of your life, but voted for, and you may still consider yourself one, but voted for Biden in 2020. Do you intend to vote for him again, or is there anyone on the Republican side you might consider if it's not Trump?
It has to be Joe Biden. And I'm glad he's willing to serve. It has to be somebody committed to the rule of law, committed to the values of this country. And the president must be someone who abides the law and our Constitution. And there's no one else but Joe Biden.
Okay, so two things. People say, what's the solution? The first solution for to get through the barricade is we have to invest in Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin now. We're trying to do that Turning Point Action. The second solution is we have to demand that these other candidates are not taken seriously, that they are debunked, and that they are called out as trying to make Donald Trump becoming the nominee harder, and it damages and injures our chance of winning in 2024. Yeah, and James Comey saying committed to the rule of law is the greatest of all Orwellian statements. Okay, I want to tell you a story. 11 years ago is Turning Point USA's birthday. Put up that logo. This logo on screen has now been seen by, no exaggeration, billions of people, if you count social media and our events and all that. Remember, I sat down with our graphic designer, Paul Romanowski. He said, what do you want in the logo? I said, well, we kind of want blue to shift to red and left to right and all of it to point forward. And that's the logo right there. Now, when we first created it, as soon as I saw it, I said, that is just so beautiful. It is crisp. It's clean. Paul Romanowski was a very unbelievably talented artist. And I don't think I've ever properly and publicly remembered him. Paul Romanowski, like so many people, was dealing and dealt with mental torment his entire life. And Paul Romanowski had a very tough situation that happened in his own personal struggle. And Paul Romanowski killed himself. And Paul was convinced that his life really meant nothing. and is an unbelievable, unspeakable tragedy. Paul was always the kind of creative, artistic driving force of Turning Point USA. And so much of the design and the logo and the art that you see come out of Turning Point USA was driven by Paul. But Paul was convinced by a lie that his life had no meaning and that what he was doing made no difference. So 11 years later, we're celebrating a birthday, but I'm also remembering Paul's impact. And also, if this message impacts one person in this audience, then it's a segment worth doing, which is, yes, you are making a difference. You might not see it. You might not know it. But if Paul could have just saw the hundreds of people that were queued outside of his funeral home, the impact 11 years later, the logo has now actually become a reality. New York Times, millennials are not an exception. They move to the right. Show that logo again. That logo is more than just a fun thing to put on the wall. We manifested it with the grace of God into something provable from the left to the right. So Paul is no longer with us. Paul made a tragic mistake to end his life, but his legacy lives on. And for those of you that might say, oh, there is no point in continuing and all that, I hope that you stop short and you recognize and hear my story closely, because there is. There's a beautiful life that waits ahead of you. And for Paul and for Bill Montgomery and Foster Freeze and the people that are no longer here, the legacy of Turning Point USA lives on. In fact, on this 11th birthday, our work is just beginning. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.